Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
So this is my second time giving a sermon. The first time was back in February. So it's been 8 months since they've asked me to do this. So hopefully that does not say anything about how they felt I did the last time. But don't worry, because this is my second time, so I'm now a pro. I can guarantee you there will be 3 points. It's going to be under 25 minutes. This is going to be terrific for all of us. We're continuing in the Casket Empty series. Do not ask me to tell you what all the letters mean. But I can tell you that we are still in K, which stands for Kings. We're going to be talking about Solomon this morning. And so I just want to read to you a little piece of scripture. It's from 1 Kings 11. Verses 1 through 6, and it says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth, and 300 concubines, so he went all out. And his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. Now, I've got to be honest, when PA had asked me to do this sermon and I saw the scripture for it, I was like, I don't want to do this, because this is definitely just all about sin. There's not a way to skirt around this. You got Solomon, he did some bad things, clearly, and it's just about sin, and there's not a lot you can do around it. It was my second time up, so I got to be honest, this is like, I was ready to go all out. Like, I was going to hit everything, right? There are going to be funny stories, and the same way PA does, there'd be like a couple of movie clips that I was going to show. A lot of times in black churches, the person who's giving the sermon will sing a song, sometimes in the middle, who knows why. But I was like, this is going to be amazing, I'm going to pull out all the stops. And when I got this, I was like, well, there's not a lot of places to go on this. You're going to have to preach on sin, and nobody likes that. It made me think of, we're in New Jersey, so it's like a law that you have to go to diners, right? And so when you go to diners, like any decent diner, they're going to have a menu that's like at least this thick, right? And there's going to be everything on it, some of this and some of that, probably none of it really, really good. But they're going to have a lot of different things. And when I saw the scripture for this and started reading through it and like, God, what do you want me to say? It was very simple, right? It was not the diner look where there's everything. I compare it more to like a Chick-fil-A. When you go to Chick-fil-A, you're not going for a hamburger. You're not going for fish. There's the chicken. They do it really well, but this is what you're going to do. You're going to do the chicken, and it's going to be simple. And I think when we're going to be talking about sin today, and I think lots of times we try to make it out to be this extremely complicated, difficult thing that's tricky and you can just slide into it, where for God, I think, like the sermon, he's like, no, it's actually pretty simple. And so the title of today's sermon is, yes, it's that simple. It is that simple. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you give us a word. We thank you that you give us a word to follow, to give us guidance, to show us love, Lord. Even as we are about to talk about sin today, Lord, we know that you have a way for us, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for the word of God that you've given to us so that we can see, so that we can know the path that we should follow. We just ask you to bless this time together. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so we're talking about Solomon. We've been talking about him for a couple weeks, but again, just a little background on him. Wisest guy, right? Except for maybe Jesus. He was the wisest guy that had walked around. He had asked God for wisdom, and God granted him that. So he was extremely wise. He was extremely, extremely rich. So he had pretty much everything that you could ever want. Solomon, I say, he was at the level of rich. He was a baller to where you know, you get rich enough where you don't have to buy things anymore. People just give you stuff. Like, even though you have a ton of money, people are like, oh, but let me give you this to wear or whatever. I've never experienced that. But it made me think of like the Oscars. So I don't know if you all have watched this, but for the Oscars, everybody gets these swag bags, right? Where it's like, swag is like stuff we all get, where they just give it, they give all these rich and famous people just free stuff, because why not? And so I was going through some of the stuff that they got in these swag bags, and it kind of blew my mind. Where, so some of the things they got, cannabis-infused hand-painted truffles and chocolate bars, an international expedition trip for two to Iceland, the Galapagos Islands, the Amazon, or Costa Rica and Panama, pretty amazing, a one-week trip to an all-inclusive spa in California, assorted Mexican sodas, I don't understand that one, three-month subscription, not 12-month, but three-month subscription to the Wall Street Journal magazine. I don't know why just 3 months, but these are people that can get anything that they want, and yet they still get free stuff. Solomon was like that. Kings and queens would come to him and say, you are so rich. Here, let me give you something else. So there was nothing that he couldn't get his hands on. And we kind of see this through the scripture. There's nothing. If we look at verse 1, it says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I think most of the men out there can agree with me that anytime you read, he loved many women, nothing good is going to come after this. There's going to be a problem if he loves many, many women. It says, besides the first, which was Pharaoh's daughter, his first wife. And so there's a problem, one, because he's a husband to a whole lot of wives. Verse 2 says, they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Solomon held fast to them in love. So I love that term, that word nevertheless, because nevertheless is telling us all signs were pointing towards one thing, and he did the opposite, right? And we see that in the Bible many places. One, the Israelites are in the desert. They're collecting the manna that God is dropping. God's like, don't do it for the seventh day. Just don't worry. You're going to be taken care of. But it says, nevertheless, some people went out to gather it on the seventh day and found none. So God gave them this heads up. And nevertheless, they blew right through it anyway, right? Here's a sign. And they're like, whatever. It doesn't mean to me. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, there have been many times in my life where God put up things for me, don't do this, or this is the direction you should go, and nevertheless, Sean kept right on going, because that's how he felt like it should be, right? Tamara and I'm not going to embarrass her too much, but we definitely, in our dating relationship, we have a nevertheless. So imagine we're in college, I'm a strapping young engineering student. Yes, I love Jesus. I am the president of our campus ministry. We're both single, ready to mingle. And I let her know that I kind of have feelings for her, right? All the signs are pointing in one direction. Nevertheless, we stayed single for quite a while. But thank God, eventually I wore her down and we got together. Yes. So point one of this sermon is that God posts signs. Right? Sometimes we like to think that we just kind of fall into things and I didn't even see that coming. But God posts signs. When it comes to sin, God posts signs about what we're supposed to be doing. A real life example of not following signposts. There's a picture. Can you all show it? Nope, not that one. Yes, this one. Now this. You're looking at this and you're like, what is this? This is the poster from Leprechaun in the Hood. It's the fifth in the hallowed Leprechaun series. You haven't seen it? Oh, wow. Okay, well, let me tell you about it. So everyone's favorite bloodthirsty Irish gnome invades the world of hip-hop in the fifth film in the Leprechaun series. Stray Bullet, Butch, and Postmaster P are three young rappers trying to raise money for their first record. They break into the studio of powerful producer Mac Daddy, hoping to steal something sellable or do some recording. Instead, they discover the secret behind Mac Daddy's multi-platinum success is, of course, a magic flute. The rappers take the flute with them, but Mac Daddy wants the flute back. And he has reinforcements. The leprechaun, who has an agreement with Mac Daddy and isn't happy when people cross him. Now, I would submit to you, there are a lot of signs that say this movie should never have been made. Never. To me, the biggest, this is the fifth of these movies. The fourth, Leprechaun in Space, got a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So that means literally nobody liked it. And still they made a fifth. And if that's not bad enough, they made three more, including Leprechaun Back in the Hood. So they made eight of these movies, even though everything was pointing to, please stop making these Leprechaun movies. And honestly, we laugh, right? But there are times that we do the same thing, that God gives us clear, do not do this. He tells us very clearly in the Bible, the wages of sin is death. He's not, he doesn't, you know, tiptoe around it. He's very clear. But then how many times do we say, I hear you, Lord, and I still continue to do it? We see it with like Lot's wife, right? He's like, don't turn around, don't turn around, don't turn around, don't turn around. She turns around anyway, and boom, pillar of salt. We're disobedient in so many ways, and we see it here with Solomon, and that God was very clear, do not marry these people because you are going to turn away from me. And he does it anyway. I just want to be clear, God keeps it simple. Those signs that he puts up applies to us. Amen. That sign applies to me. And so that's something we have to keep in mind. Point two, sometimes with sin, it all seems good. So a lot of times we like to think that when sin is going to be there, it's going to be something that's like, oh, there's going to be a devil, and he's going to be like, ah, come here, it's going to be great, you know? And it's like, I don't want to be with you, devil. Of course I'm not going to sin. But it doesn't always look that way. A lot of times, it looks good, right? So when we look at Solomon, Solomon was in love. And love is great. It's a terrific thing. So you would think, like, what's the problem? He was in love, and so he did his thing. The problem is that God told him, do not marry these people. He was clear, right? We talked about the signs. I think back to the Garden of Eden, where you have all these trees, and God tells Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree. There's nothing inherently bad about the tree. Don't think that, like, all the other trees were giving wonderful fruit, and this one was giving, like, ugly, disgusting, gross fruit. Nope, all the fruit was good. He just said, that one's not for you. And so sometimes that thing that looks good, because they're looking at it and they're saying, hey, the fruit looks good, right. But God says that that's not for you, so leave it alone. Another example I think of is the Tower of Babel. Whenever I read about the Tower of Babel, I never understood what was going on here. With the Tower of Babel, you've got a group of people, the flood has happened, and you know, basically everybody's from one family, right? Because it's Noah and his people. They were the ones that lived through it. And so everybody's speaking the same language. They all get together in this city and they say, you know what we're going to do? We are going to build this tower. We're going to work together and build a tower, and it's going to keep us all safe so that nothing bad can happen to us and we don't get scattered again. And imagine the situation. You've got these people that are all speaking one language. There's no racial divide between them. There's no politics and backbiting and gossiping. It's like they're all holding hands, singing We Are the World, right? Like the Coke ad where it's like, I'd like to teach the world to sing, right? Like, it's beautiful. And God looks down on it and God says, if they continue to work together, there's nothing that they can't accomplish. So you would think, this is great. This is what we want, heaven on earth. And God goes, now I'm going to break you all up. And when I read that, I'm like, why would that happen? These people were living the type of life that you would want us to live. Why did you do that? And the reason is because right from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a purpose. He was like, go out and multiply, like fill up the land. After the flood, same thing. I don't want you to hunker down here. Go out and populate. Like, there's just a few of you all here. We need you to populate. And so when they were building this tower, it wasn't out of this, we just love everyone. But it was actually out of fear. They were like, we're going to build this tower, right? So that thing that happened with the flood, so that we will not be broken up and sent away again. And God's like, I already told you, first of all, I'm not going to do that. And second of all, I gave you a job to do. Go out and do it. So with sin, sometimes even if it looks like it's terrific, even if it like works great for this other person, you have to think, is that what God told me to do? Sin can look really good, but is it what God told you to do? Because if it's not, no matter how hard you work at it, it's going to fail. And we see this with Solomon. He loves a bunch of people. There's nothing wrong with love. However, God told him, do not marry, and he did it anyway. Verse 3 says, he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines and wives, and 300 concubines, and the wives led him astray. So when I read this, especially the last part, and his wives led him astray, it's like, perfect. It wasn't his fault, right? It wasn't on him. It was on the wives. The wives did it. We've kind of seen this from the start, right? Like, Adam and Eve. I keep going back to you all. But Adam and Eve, he's like, it's not me. It's the woman that you gave me. It's her fault, right? And I think, honestly, we all kind of look for some reason to say that it's not me. It's everything else, right? It's like, it's not me, God, that's lusting. It's what people are wearing, right? It's what the media is showing to me. It's what the culture says is okay. It's not my fault. But in reality, the sin is really about me, okay? The issue of sin, it's not about anybody else, no matter who is out there or who's doing what. It's really about us inside. My background is in education. So teaching was one of the first jobs. It was the first adult job that I had. And I didn't go to school for education. So I had very little training, and they put me in a classroom in New York City, which I grew up in the suburbs of Virginia. So New York City was the scariest place ever. Like, I didn't go to Richmond. For me, Richmond, Virginia was like too big of a city. And then I was teaching and living in Harlem, which for me was the scariest part of the scariest place on the face of the earth. And I know my mom was like, my child is not gonna make it. And I got in there, and let me tell you, it was really, really tough, right? Like, I had never been cursed at, and I don't mean like cursed around, like, oh, S this, F that. It was like, no, F you, Mr. Hopkins. I had never been cursed at so often, or picked on and made fun of so often. And then I became an administrator, and so I was only called in when there was a problem. It was like, yeah, Mr. Hopkins, this kid's crazy, you come get him. And it was like, oh, okay, how did I get into this situation? And just as a side note, a lot of times people are like, something doesn't work out, plan B is like, I'm gonna become a teacher, because it'll be easy. No, it's not. No, it's not. You probably can't do it. It's the same, like, sometimes we'll look at police officers and say, oh, if I was a police officer, I'd always run to danger. I'd always, you know, make the right decision. You know what? It's really hard. Like, so just keep that in mind as if you ever are like, I'm just going to become a teacher. It's really, really hard. And so I'm in this situation, right, where all of these kids are being tough. And there were definitely moments when you're in a classroom and a kid is cursing at you, and they've disrupted the class and are probably throwing things around the room or possibly at you, where you would feel totally within your right to tell that child where they can go and what they can do when they get there, right? Because it's like a person can only take so much until it's like, I am now going to, right? But that's sin. No matter how much I think it would be okay, that's sin. Because I'm not thinking about the fact that that kid may have just lost their parent. Or I'm not thinking about the fact that that kid may have been late this morning because they're living in a homeless shelter. And you know what? There's tough things to deal with. Or that somebody just went to prison. Or whatever it is in their life. I'm not forgiving that child the way that God forgave me. I'm not seeing that child as a child of God the exact same way that I am. And so even though everything around may be saying, listen, man, just take your one shot at this kid. Nobody will know. It's fine. No, it's still wrong. Because in the end, it's not about the other person or whatever variables are in the world. It's about us. When it comes down to sin, it's about me. And it's hard to take ownership of that, but we have to. And sometimes we try to make it a complicated thing. Here, even when you read the scripture, it's like, it's not Solomon's fault. It was just the women. Solomon was told not to marry. That was the essential problem here. It wasn't the wives. He was told not to marry. So if he had done that, everything would have ended up just okay. So it's difficult, right? We're looking at this thing of sin, and God's saying, look, I'm giving you signposts for you to follow, right? He's telling us it's really is just about you. It's not going to be about other people. He gives us a plan of how to follow, to not fall into it, even when it looks good. But we still sin. The beauty of it is, even though that God makes sin simple, right, with don't do this, and we see it, and we want to do it, so we do it anyway, he also gives us a way out. Through Jesus Christ, who came down, who lived just as we lived, who took the ultimate punishment for us, God has both made sin so simple in that you're going to do it, and I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you away.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.